I need to start really thinking about this eight-figure puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
Because seven to eight isn't a big jump.
David Chance presents to you the Morning Meetup. Do you have an idea you need to get off the ground? Are you a small business owner looking to earn supplemental income or replace your current income? Come and join the most amazing mentorship and accountability group for entrepreneurs. Live with David Chance himself. That's right, this is not pre-recorded and it's not a replay. This is live every morning, Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. Eastern. In addition to the live calls, you'll also receive a weekly individual Q&A call, a private Facebook community, access to all call replays, and access to David's list of resources and contacts. You need to be in an environment of success. So head over to themorningmeetup.com today for your $1 7-day trial. That's right, just $1 for 7 days of access to the Morning Meetup. Take massive action towards manifesting your dreams today. Themorningmeetup.com.
And 3, 2, 1.
You're listening to The Real Social Proof Podcast with Mr. Sleep is for Suckers himself, David Shands. Let's get it.
Welcome to another edition of the Social Proof Podcast, where we find the dopest people that do the dopest stuff. And actually, it is me and Donnie, because I'm dope, she dope, we dope. We've crossed over the 100 episode milestone.
We can
clap it up for that. Y'all ain't trying to clap it up for that? Y'all ain't trying to clap it up? Ain't no claps?
Definitely okay, need studio applause, okay?
Appreciate it. We got a semi-live studio. It's actually only two humans
we
here.
We got two people here. And they're part of the crew.
Definitely crew. So, excited, man, about what's going on. Let's talk through your week, man. What's been happening?
Oh, my gosh. Let's see. Well, we are still early in the week, so let's just talk about the last 7 days. I needed to get away. I right now, because of the goals that we're going to get into.
You've been getting away, though.
I have been getting away.
It ain't like, I just decided to go. You've been out here.
I've been in these streets heavy. But you know what? So because the goals for this year are so big, I have been under a lot of pressure because it has to happen or it has to happen. Like, it just, there is no in between. And so anxiety, I've been dealing with a lot in the last, like, 2 months. Anxiety. So I have been having to just, like, get out of my everyday space and go somewhere else just to kind of wind down and regroup and remap out my goals. Just changing up my environment.
Where do you think the anxiety is stemming from?
It could be a lot of things. So I think we talked before, like my business has just gone to the next level. We're at that next level. Sure. And when that happens very quickly, the danger about scaling so quickly is that you have to keep up with the fulfillment. You have to keep up with the customer service. You got to keep up with systems. And so that's one thing. And then training a new team to work with my company is that. And then I think also, you know, I'm a mover and shaker. So I'm used to being out and about and being able to change up my environments and work in different places. And just because of what we're dealing with right now, still with being semi shut down. Mm-hmm. Interestingly enough, like, all the clubs and stuff are open, but like the normal office spaces that we work in are not.
Right.
So working at home, just in that 1800 square feet of just four walls, I think brings me anxiety because there's no versatility in my environment. So
gotcha.
That's why I'm like waking up and like, I'm going to New Orleans tomorrow.
Does your anxiety, you think, have anything to do with like your lack of a man, or is it just business? Is that like, when is this going to happen? You wake up and you identify all the DMs and you just don't know what to choose. And you got like the sometimey situations, the ones that take you out. Because that can cause a lot of anxiety. We just want to get to the root of the problem.
How was your week, Shans?
I'm being very serious. I'm looking out for my sister.
So we're going to talk about entrepreneurship.
Yes.
We're going to talk about goals. We are definitely not going to highlight the fact that I am single and available in Atlanta with a child who does not interfere because she's away at college and grown now. No. Seriously, we are going to talk about your week now.
Oh, yeah. My week was really good. Wrapped up the second installment of the Creators Bootcamp, and it was amazing.
It was insane.
So the first one was good. The second one is hard to top, but I'm looking at like all that's been going on, and the third one is like, we're gonna take the best parts of the first one, best parts of the second one, and wrap it into the third one, and people are definitely gonna go to the next level in terms of being able to effectively create content. Because creating content is just painting pictures online, mm-hmm. you know what I mean, for your audience. So that went really well. Business is good. Relationship is good. Wifey is doing well. We could drop this baby anytime now.
By the time they see this, the baby could be here.
I could probably have a baby. Yep. So, yeah, man, we just working out here. So I'm excited about this episode where here's the thing. This is kind of like a principle for everybody. Can we move the camera over a little bit this way? Yeah, no, the other way. Yeah, right, come on, keep going. Right there. I'm sorry, yes, did you have something?
She was just getting me together over here.
Your telling hair wasn't
me
right?
My hair wasn't right. Girl, we need you every day, okay? Am I good?
So before the episode,
this side?
We were talking. We were talking about what we were gonna talk about. So the decision to do the podcast is already done. We meet time, place, topic is always up for discussion.
Yep.
So we just happen to have the conversation. It's like, yo, man, this is going to be a big year. And mm-hmm. Donnie was like, yo, man, these $10,000 days ain't bad. I got to do these joints every single day. I'm like, absolutely. And we were talking about this seven-figure year. Mm-hmm. And I asked Donnie, like, have you ever made seven figures in 12 months? She said, yes. Well, actually, not yes. It was an 18-month. I'm like, darn, it's not the same. But I like the vision. She's been a millionaire, okay? Yeah, we were talking about this seven-figure year. Mm-hmm. And we'll probably talk a lot about the seven-figure year, but for you, it might be your six-figure year or your $50,000 year or your $30,000 year, whatever it is. But we got to talk about the target, the goals.
So you guys will notice that we're set up a little differently today. I got my computer and my notebook here. Yo, this is like my business
Bible.
She's
set up a little differently.
I'm set up a little differently. This, we're really, really serious about this. So Shans and I over the years have kind of tracked on the same kind of pattern, especially income-wise and even with some of the opportunities, but definitely income-wise and where we are every single year. And we talked a few months ago about like always getting so close to it. The seven figures, yeah. But I need to see the seven. Yeah, I don't want to, sure. Almost doesn't count, right? So we are both on our journey to our first seven-figure year in a 12-month period of time. In a 12-month time frame. And you know what's so interesting is that we have both worked with, coached, and developed other people into seven figures.
100%.
And I want to bring this up early because people are watching like, y'all haven't hit seven figures? No.
And this is so freeing that like we ain't got to stunt or lie about the numbers or listen, and we still get extreme results from ourselves and other people.
Yeah.
But some people will say because they made $1 million over 4 years, we're in the millionaire club, or that's not necessarily the case.
We're not going to do it. We could do that, right? Yeah. But we're not going to do that. And I think it's important to highlight, we're both taking big steps this year specifically that we already see it. The seven figures is done. Yeah. We just want to talk to you guys because we're on the journey and then we also want the accountability. But one of the things that have held, I know me back and I know from digging into your business with you too, is scalability. The single reason that we've not had a seven-figure year has nothing to do with does it work? Do we need to create more products? It's we were offering so much of us in our services that we were still exchanging time for money.
Yeah.
And especially me until this recent year, I still do because I offer one-on-one coaching. But when you put yourself in a situation where you're only doing one-on-one coaching like I did for so long, it's nearly impossible to make seven figures because you can only exchange so many of your hours for time unless you are commanding the type of clientele that can pay you what it takes to only see 10 clients, in a year for $1 million. And so that brings me to one thing that I've done differently this year.
What's that?
I've added an agency component to my company where we handle the operations. So from coaching, I have been able to discover what my clients need. And because I'm a business development coach, I know that some of the areas that my clients struggle in, number one, 99% of the time is clarity. Whether they are a business that's going after their first six figures or already generating seven figures trying to get to eight, which is what we got going on now, clarity is always a component. Like, they always need to get clear about a piece of their business.
Yeah, I think that's the major, and that was you weren't there the earlier part of the boot camp, but the entire time was me helping people identify what the target is.
And we could spend so much time on that.
Oh, man.
And then I guarantee, so here's the thing about clarity. Once you get clear in an idea, it's like, okay, six figures for both of us. Once you were clear on how to hit six figures, once we did that, now seven figures becomes so unclear. Don't even know how to do it. We were just on a live with AD Dolphin, who said, you know, he gave us advice. David asked him, what advice would you give us as we're both trying to hit our very first seven-figure year? Mm-hmm. And he said, make eight.
And it was silent. Like, you're like, okay, you got any advice for us in our first seven-figure year? He said, make eight.
Mm-hmm. Make eight. But we asked him if he remembered his first seven figures, and he doesn't.
Right.
But what he was saying was, is that what he does remember about having seven figures or hitting seven figures is that when he did hit seven figures, no. He was saying now that he makes eight figures, he has no idea how to get to nine.
Yeah.
It's unclear. So he needs what? Clarity.
Clarity. For sure.
So I've identified that two main components that CEOs need always, clarity and operations, right?
Clarity and operations.
Mm-hmm.
Clarity and operations. I like that.
Clarity and operations. So I have focused a lot of my effort, a lot of my offerings around helping CEOs gain and maintain clarity, and then helping them to get them functioning like CEOs rather than just a hobby, rather than just somebody who just started a business, like functioning like an actual corporate structure, like an actual entity.
Hold on. Yo, can somebody grab me my book bag? There's a blue notebook in there. Yeah. And underneath the blue notebook, there's a pen, the back part, because I need to write that down, because I really want that to ring with me. Clarity and operations, because
mm-hmm.
operations,
notice how Shans now has a notebook because I have a notebook.
It's not so you have a notebook. I just don't want to lose.
It's because I have a notebook. He, you know, tried to clown me at the beginning of the episode, highlighting the fact that I was set up differently.
You're a little diva with it. I need a little setup. You know, just give me a little.
I need a little, because we're going to go deep today, right? And just in case we get into some actual strategic planning, I needed to have my resources here. Aaron Mallory is in the biz building. I missed you the other night, and I'm going to tell you why. Can I tell him why really quickly?
Sure.
So I was leaving an event in the dark, and nobody walked me to my car. And I said, if Aaron were here, you would definitely have made sure I got to my car. I was in a room full of men. David wasn't here. He was somewhere else. He didn't know I was leaving. I was in a room full of men leaving here around 10 o'clock at night, maybe. Not one person walked me to my vehicle.
You could have called me. I would have drove by. I would have just walked you to your
car. And let me say this. While I appreciate that, and before they be like, oh, she thinks somebody's supposed to walk her to her car. It's not that. It's just that Aaron is so over the top with protecting black women.
Yeah.
Women, period, that it was a void. Like, this was my first time ever leaving a major event here and had nobody to walk me to my car.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. Aaron.
Shout out to Wall Street Trapper, too, because he does the same thing. But, man. Aaron, you are the man.
Mr. Underscore Let Go, okay?
Mr. Underscore Let Go.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you for that.
He was ready to get bars, too. He went straight to the mic. I feel you. All right, that is all, Aaron.
That is it.
All right, don't be already shot going fishing.
So,
all right, so
clarity and operations.
Clarity and operations, mm-hmm. for sure. So, and now that you say it, it's like, oh, that's how we've been able to elevate, because this is the first, well, not this year in terms of this year, but the last 12 months is when I really started to focus on clarity, which is the target, identifying where I want to go. Because once you identify the target, your actions will dictate. Well, your listen, family, black representation in media is vital. Okay. If we don't use our voice, we lose our voice in radio, television, print, etc. I remember listening to Arsenio Hall back in the day. I remember watching Oprah. I remember
hearing these black voices in media, and it made me always want to be a part of it. The next generation, however, of influential black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truths. Black Stories, Black Truths is a celebration of blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's black voices are distinct, varied, and nuanced as the black experience itself. And in the Black Stories, Black Truths collection, you'll hear stories of joy, resilience, empowerment, and creating world-shifting things out of struggle. Every episode is a living account about what it means to be black today, told from a unique black perspective. From Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations, there's no limit to the range of black stories and black truths, okay? I'm checking out NPR, and I believe they have the real. The hosts understand the assignment and are telling the real stories of the black experience. Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story, obviously, but now they are the story. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of some of NPR's best podcast episodes celebrating the black experience. Hear a feed of episodes from across NPR's podcasts that center black voices. It's NPR Noir. Turn on NPR today and hear a range of voices as varied, nuanced, and as black as the country we reflect. Stories should never be about us without us. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, wherever you get podcasts.
Your target will dictate your actions. Like if the goal is to make $100,000, well, I'm going to run in a manner that allows me to make $8,333. Mm-hmm. But now that the target is bigger, it's almost like, y'all can't sell $25 t-shirts because mm-hmm. I have to do a different activity because that's not going to get me to the target.
Right.
And then operations in terms of we just have systems and people in place. So Trey kind of helps with the YouTube stuff. We got Jovan working on some stuff. And we about to do the Patreon because you didn't.
No, I already have stuff going on.
No, you don't.
Yes,
no.
I do.
I was like, yo, Donnie.
No, I just talked to Trey. What's
Donnie,
her name?
We're going to do this thing. If you're going to do it Tuesday. Because if not, I'm going to do it myself. And she's like, all right, just give me till Tuesday.
Trey and I just had this conversation at the Social Proof podcast. And I'm already on
at
it.
The Social Proof
Cut
podcast.
It out. I mean, we're on the Social Proof podcast at the Content Creation Bootcamp.
You mean yesterday? 2 days ago?
2 days ago.
You were supposed to have it 2 weeks ago. And I said, this is what I told Jovan, because you got to talk to Jovan now. I said, well, Donnie's supposed to do it, but if she doesn't, you got it. I don't call her right now. But anyway, Patreon's about to be lit. And then I guess I'll just have to hire Donnie to coach along this process.
Patreon is about to be lit with me and David Shands because it's a done deal, period. anyway, no, seriously. Yeah. So clarity and operations. And when,
oh, that's what I was saying. Okay,
let's
I'm sorry.
Get back to the interview.
So, yes,
to the conversation.
Clarity and then operations in terms of putting people around and processes and, you know, people that can help where I'm not as strong because systems are not necessarily my passion or I don't even think I have, I won't say the ability, but I don't have the interest to want to put a system in place that rolls. I want to have it, but I'm not going to do it. So I realized that about myself. And I said, I'm going to find people who can put it together and all they need are instructions for me. So what I've been able to see in terms of growth are because of those two things. That's amazing. Right? Mm-hmm, that's mm-hmm. good.
And that took you to your next level,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely, 100%.
And so here's the thing. Once you have clarity and operations for a business owner are things that are never 100% in place for a long period of time. You're going to consistently evolve as a person. You're going to consistently evolve in your business. And so when that evolution begins to take place, once you get clear on something, it's going to take you to another level and you got to get clear again on how you're going to get to the next level. Mm-hmm. And then there's usually different operational systems or procedures and SOPs to do that. So that's a constantly evolving thing. SOPs are standard operating procedures. So your instructions for how you do something, it's the how to's, the step by step of how you do a thing. So if you, if you sell t-shirts out of a warehouse, how do you do that, right? Most people, the reason why most people aren't as successful at this is because if you were someone who said, well, I sell t-shirts out of a warehouse and you wanted to hire someone to help you fulfill, and I say, okay, well, what's your SOP? And you show me something that says, oh, okay, well, they get the size, they package it up, here's the address, they send it out. Well, that's not a functional SOP. that's in your head. You understand that. But if I hired a sixth grader to come in here, they should have instructions that are so clear that they're able to fulfill your orders, starting with, well, how does the customer even make the order, right? Mm-hmm. Where do I go to retrieve the order? www. Or what system or software do I log in to even retrieve the order? Where do I go? Where are the small, mediums, and large kept? How are things organized? How are things structured? How do I pull it? How do I account for that inventory that I've now pulled off the shelf so we have an accurate count of what's left? Like, all of those things matter from the very beginning to how it goes out to the customer. Mm. So even after that, how do we track errors? Customer says they didn't get their product. Something was returned to sender. SOPs have to be in place for all those things. And when you start getting your SOPs in place and you're that clear, you start making better decisions. You start being able to scale analytics and saying, you know what? We're doing this harder than we have to. So now we can, because of SOPs, now we can become more efficient. And if we're more efficient, then either I'm making more money or saving time and I can do something else with that money or time. Or you're able to say things like, oh, you know what? This isn't working. Actually, I see this and we're not making the money that I thought we were making. Then you're also able to hire better. Well, now these are the SOPs. I can actually get a college student in here to do this. I don't need somebody who's going to demand $20 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
All these things work together to create your solid foundational business.
That's amazing. So one thing is, I need everybody. You can open it if he's coming in. We need to really start to look at every little piece of our business, right? Everything that goes out. And it's so crazy because as you're talking, I'm like, wow, these are the things that are that I'm implementing that's taking it to another level.
Mm-hmm.
The standard operating procedures, not just, okay, come here, set this up, but this is where this goes. This is why this is angled this way. These are the numbers, the steps. That's absolutely amazing. So we got to get to this seven-figure puzzle on... Okay. And shouts out to AD Dolphin. So he created it. He said, once you figure out the puzzle, you figured it out.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So this is a puzzle is something that you figure out. You have to put different pieces together to paint this picture. And the picture is the goal, the thing that you desire, right? So you're going to do a podcast, right? Well, both of you guys have your podcast. It's a puzzle to figure out. And the reason why it's not coming together is because you don't have the piece to the puzzle that's going where it needs to be. So I don't know, let's see, a strategy on release. That's a piece of the puzzle. Topics that hit, that's a piece of the puzzle. We either don't have it or we have the piece and we're just not putting it in the right place.
Mm-hmm.
So we might have the right equipment, but we're not using it effectively. We might have the guests in our network, but we don't know how to get the people that we know as guests on the podcast. So I really like the fact that he put this together as he painted this picture as a puzzle, right? Because we see the vision, we see it all together because it's on the box, right? We see how it's supposed to look. Like, and you might see another podcast and say, oh, that's what I want. Because you see their puzzle put together, but you're like, oh my gosh, how do I get there? Then we start making excuses.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm in the wrong market. I don't know how to do it. But it's just a puzzle. And if we look at it like that, and I'm starting to think, What AD said was, how do you get to seven figures? Go make eight.
Mm-hmm.
I need to start really thinking about this eight-figure puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
Because seven to eight isn't a big jump. Now, I can see his challenge from eight to nine.
Mm-hmm.
That's a bigger jump.
That's a big jump.
That's a huge jump.
That's a big jump.
But seven to eight?
We're talking 9 million to 10 million.
9 minutes? Yeah, for sure.
It's just 9 to 10.
Right.
Right.
But then going from 10 million to 100 million is different.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of this puzzle, what are the missing pieces for somebody that wants to make six figures? What does that particular puzzle look like? And I'd imagine it's the same puzzle every level.
It's the same puzzle every step. You just magnify the effort, right? Or you magnify or you get magnified results from the effort. So when we're looking to make our very first six figures, again, the very first thing is going to be clarity. So I'm taking notes as you're talking. And when we talk about the puzzle, we see, first of all, vision. Do you see the big picture?
Do you see what it's supposed to look like?
Do you see what it's supposed to look like? Like, what is six figures supposed to look like? And I'm writing this down because this is a major, major, major.
And if any of you guys have questions, because our, what's cool is our audience doubled. We went from two people studio audience to four. We lit out here. So if any of y'all have a question on your particular puzzle, just raise your hand because we're here to help not only you, but not only the people at home that are listening, but you as well, okay? All right, go for it. I'm sorry.
So the first thing is vision. Number one, being able to see, and mindset is everything, right? So we know that thoughts become things, and this is really huge. People hate hearing this part. It sounds like just such mumbo jumbo, but it's for real. I need you first to visualize what that looks like. What does six figures look like? And how do you do that? So what would six figures do to improve your situation? What would it do to improve your life? How do you walk? How do you act? How do you talk? How do you dress? Mm-hmm. Where do you live? What do you drive with your six figures? Vision. Then the second step, I think, or the second important factor to the puzzle is environment, right? When we get a puzzle, we have to clear the space to put it together. So the environment.
Oh, that's a bar. That's a bar. Dang. That's a bar. Did y'all catch that though? Like the environment isn't even set for you to put a puzzle together. Mm-hmm. Like the people in your life, the activities that you have, I don't know if people do poker night still or club night on Saturdays and Sundays, what you do at your weekends. You know, some people only grind on during the week.
Some people are turned off.
They don't even
off.
Think about their business. They're only thinking about their business during the week.
So much so that they look at us like we're weirdos mm-hmm. when we work on the weekends.
Yeah.
We're weirdos.
Weird.
That's why we're going for seven figures.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? Oh, environment. You got to clear the... What does your space look like for, come on, come to the mic, okay? Introduce yourself. What does your environment look like? Do you have the environment that's ready?
Do you mean literally, so puzzle? This is niche. I just started a podcast, Finding Your Niche with Niche. You mean like your business environment or just in general?
Period.
See, that's the thing.
It's important.
All of it. It's not separate. All of it. My environment is filled with positive people.
Well, my personal environment is this, but my business mm-hmm. environment and then my love environment, it's all the same.
It's all the same.
Yeah.
Well, it's good. I'm surrounded by people who support me, who support the message. It's a universal message of people, you know, becoming free from thoughts that may have kept them captive. Mm. And so everybody wants to be better. And
what
so
about,
the people.
What about your calendar? Is your calendar set? Is it a good environment for you to
right
get
now,
to your goal?
Right now, yeah.
Okay.
With the way my lifestyle is set up, yeah. Right now, I'm okay.
You okay?
I shoot on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Gotcha. What about the other 5 days of the week?
I don't shoot, but I, like you said, find guests, think of good topics, find people who have interesting niches. Think about promo. So yeah. I definitely need to work on the strategy, like you said, strategy release.
Yeah,
that
Aaron,
part.
What's your environment? Yeah, right there. What's the is the environment set for you to put a puzzle together?
My environment is totally set, and with me, it's mainly social media and doing video things like that. So overall, like my Clubhouse environment is great. YouTube environment.
How much time you spend on Clubhouse?
I had to pull back.
Oh, he be in that thing.
Clubhouse was crazy, but yeah.
Yo, so when did you pull back?
Oh, recently.
Recently.
Like recently, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, but yeah, I was on Clubhouse Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, like from like 5 to like 12 midnight.
Yo, imagine trying to put a puzzle together and it's mad stuff on the table.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So we might be busy in activity, but there's so much stuff on the table. We can't find the pieces.
We're trying to put a piece around the flower pot and a piece around the cup and a piece around the kids' toys. You got to clear the space.
Got to.
You
got to
clear the space. And that's the first key in your environment, number one. So when you're looking at that in entrepreneur terms or someone who's looking like, well, what does that mean? Calendar, right? Mm-hmm. My calendar is my cash calculator. My calendar is my cash calculator. So I know that if my calendar is light, I'm likely not making that much money, right? March is just getting started, but this was February. This was my activity in February. So I don't know if you guys can see this, but all these color codes equal an event, something that I'm committed to doing. This is already March, right? And we're just at the beginning of March with things that have to be done.
Dang, that calendar gives me anxiety.
Your calendar may give me. Now, these are things, some of these are things that my team is doing. Some of these things, this is my business calendar, right? I need to know that things are happening in my business. So these are not necessarily all my commitments. Mm. But I know that if I wake up and I look at my calendar and I see it full, I'm excited because I know that money is being made that day, right? So clearing the space, getting mentally prepared, taking out your calendar and saying, okay, I work full time. I'm going for my first six figures. How do I make this happen? Well, let me first go in and prioritize what I have to do. So I know, let me tell you one thing that was super clutch for me, David, to get the environment right. When I was working full time, Aaron, every single day I went into work hating my job. I resented the job. I wanted to be an entrepreneur. And so I used to calendar train myself, and now I calendar train other people. And what
calendar
you want?
Calendar train. Mm-hmm. What do you mean?
So we're going to get to that. So take out your calendar and write down what your commitments are every single day. So for most of you, you have to go to work from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. every day, Monday through Friday. So I want you to write on your work, on your calendar, Monday, go to work 9 to 5. Tuesday, go to work 9 to 5. Wednesday, go to work. Mm-hmm. Then you have things like your standing hair appointments, kids' games, and whatever you're regularly committed to, go ahead and put those things on your calendar, because that's going to give you a clear window. Two things. One thing is going to give you a clear window of when you're available to work your business. So now we're taking away the excuse of, I don't have time. Mm-hmm. Now I see the time. Clearly, I see now that I have a 1 hour break on Wednesday between 2:30 and 3:30. Let me do something most productive there. But it's also going to show you where you're wasting time.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
Maybe you shouldn't have a standing hair appointment every week. Maybe you can go every 2 weeks. Yep. Maybe you don't need to be at brunch. You got more brunch than business on your calendar, right? Mm-hmm. So those are the first things you do. Now, after you do this, I want you to change the language just a little bit. For those of you who are trying to get off your job, instead of saying go to work 9 to 5, I want you to change that language on the next week and there on out that says build somebody else's dream 9 to 5.
That'll piss you off. Yo, it's no longer a job. It's like build someone else's dream.
Build their dream 9 to 5. Build their dream 9 to 5.
You know, and what I did working at the Cheesecake Factory, I looked at that as a meeting with my investor.
Mm.
So it even changed my activity and how hard I, because I have to be there.
Yeah.
I'm like, yo, this, every single tip has something to do with my dream because my job is my number one investor. And when I looked at it like that, I went in with a more positive attitude. Mm. I couldn't wait to go there because I'm about to go link up with my investor. My investor's going to give me some money. I'm going to put it into my business. And because I'm having a, I'm looking at this solely as an opportunity to build my business, my customers, my clients, how I called them, the guests actually eating at my table, all of them got to hear about Sleep is for Suckers. I made some amazing connections with my guests about me building my brand, because this is no longer a job. This is an opportunity for me to build my business.
I love that. I wish I had such a healthy mindset about my job.
I had to change it.
He had the, this is my top investor. I had the build somebody else's dream. So when I went into work, I was pissed off.
Did you do commission?
I did.
You got commission?
Right? I got commission. I always accepted commissionable jobs. Mm-hmm. Don't put a cap on what I'm supposed to make, right? I need the commission structure out of the gate. So now you've got what we talk about first. You've got your vision. You see the six figures, right? Mm-hmm. You know what it's going to do to your life. Now we've created an environment, and it's beyond just the calendar. So you got the calendar, you've identified time. But then if you're living in conditions that are subpar, right, and all you see around you are reminders about how broke you might be or how unhappy you might be, let's shift that a little bit. Let's change it. Go and grab a magazine with your dream car, and on your steering wheel, I literally did that. On your steering wheel, take a picture and tape it, tape your dream car to your steering wheel or on your dashboard. That way, every time you get in your car, before you pull off, you see that dream car. Mm-hmm. You don't see the crappy car that you're in, right? Yeah. When you wake up in the morning and you don't like your bedroom, on your nightstand in a frame, put a picture of your dream house. Put a picture of the interior of your dream house. Put it there, put it on your refrigerator. Now you're starting to see that six-figure environment, and you're setting up for it mentally.
Facts. Let me tell the story real quick. So the other day, a little while ago, me and Donnie go to the mall, and I'm like, Donnie, you need a Rolex. And the only reason I'm saying it is because I got one because Neo had one, and Marcus was at, like, Jason was there, and everybody got their little Rolexes, right? So I'm like, oh,
they little Rolexes.
I'm gonna get one. They little Rolexes, right? So we were here actually, and I was like, Donnie, you need one. She said, yo, I had a Rolex when I was 19. And then you like lost one on a plane or something.
Lost
right?
one on an airplane.
So we went into the Rolex store. We went to the mall, and she's like, dude, I don't need no Rolex. I was like, yo, you need to buy one today. She's like, I'm not buying a Rolex today. We go into the store, she tries it on.
it's beautiful. It's so her. It fits her, right? It fits her perfectly. And then she took a little picture, put her hand in a little hoodie pocket and left the Rolex out a little bit. That joke was hilarious. So today we get here, and this had to be
like 3 weeks ago.
So today she's like, I think I'm going to get it. Mm-hmm. It's the watch is what? 20,000, 19,000. Mm-hmm. She's like, I'm going to get the Rolex. I'm going to get it. And she was like, yo, we were talking about what the price was and all that. She was like, yo, I got a picture of it. So she pulls out the picture of it, of her hand in her pocket with the little price tag hanging out, and she sees it. So when you start talking about like having your vision, mm-hmm. I literally had this same exact watch on my home screen until I got the watch.
Yep.
So now we're thinking a little bit bigger, because it's not even just the watch. It's what we have to do to get the watch. And I told Donnie, like, yo, because she was like, yo, I just can't. She was like, I was going to get it the other day, but I just can't see putting 20,000 down. And I couldn't see it either. So what I said was, I'm going to do something outside of what I would normally do to get the watch. So I said, I'm going to put an event, because mine was 15.2. I'm going to do something outside of what I normally do. So I said, you know what? I'm going to do this content creation boot camp. I'm going to charge $1,000 and we're going to get 30 people there. That'd be 30,000. That's okay. I'll be paid for the activity. I'll make 15, and that the other 15 is going to the watch, period. Literally the only reason I created the content creation bootcamp, because I was like, yo, I have to do something out of, cause I can't just take it from my own money. I don't know. I'm weird like that. I'm just going to take $15,000 from my own money and just invest it in that. So just started thinking, because this is the goal, what can I do to get this particular goal outside of my normal activity? Mm-hmm. So the fact that she has the watch and she's like, yo, all right, bet, I'm gonna do something outside of normal, create extra money. Mm-hmm. I forgot what book it was. My man, somebody asked, his wife asked him, yo, I want a bigger house. And it was like an artist, I forgot who it was. He said, all right, I'll write one. Like, I don't know if it was Elton John or somebody like that. She was like, yo, I just want a new house. He said, okay, I'm gonna write one. I'm gonna write a new house. Let me write a hit that's gonna pay for this new house outside of what I want. So that joint was just so powerful to me that I did it. And you about to do it too, right? Get your watch?
I'm gonna go after we film. Or
are you gonna go get the watch today?
Are you gonna come with me?
Yeah. Are you gonna go get the watch today?
I'll go get the watch today.
It's exciting.
Y'all think I should get the watch or should I create something first? Just go get it.
No. I want you to create something.
Create something.
I want you to go create some extra money.
Okay.
To pay for that. Do that.
Okay.
Because that's too easy. I'm sorry. Let me
go ahead. If you got that free time on your calendar, like you said, you might do. You had an hour to do it.
You got the hour to go grab that joint.
To go do something to get it. Create the extra money for my Rolex. I'm about to go write a watch. I am a creator.
Create a watch.
I'm about to create my Rolex. Okay, so, okay.
Yeah, my wife was, we just moved into this house like a couple of years ago. And she's like, ooh, I want to build a house. I'm like, baby, this house is not a shabby house. It's like, not. It's not a bad house. It's like, yeah, I want to get into my forever home, right? So we're having a baby and now she's pregnant. So she's in, what is it, nesting?
Nesting.
Nesting. Mm-hmm. So she's doing all kind of stuff that I got to pay for in the house. But she's like, yo, I want to get one. So I didn't tell her, and she don't really listen to the podcast like that, so the secret's safe. But I'm starting to think now, what can I do? So $1 million home, the mortgage is going to be about $5,000 plus taxes and all that kind of stuff. I'm guessing six, seven, something like that. Mm-hmm. Can we create something that's automated that will spit off six or seven, some sort of business, some sort of project that can spit off that just to take care of the house?
In addition to what you've already got going on.
In addition, extra. Targeted activity.
We actually kind of did. Yo, those affiliate commissions are.
Affiliates.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, we created a good 25-30% of the thing you're looking for.
Yeah. Yes. This is a fact. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we've got the vision, we've got the environment. We now need to start putting the other piece in place. What's the skill or the skill, aka the service or the product that you're going to use to get to your six figures? In our case, our seven figures, right? So what is the skill set that you already possess, or what is the product that you can get access to at a rate that you can afford right now and start doubling that money over and over and over again.
Say it again.
Okay. So what is it? What is the skill set or the product that we're going to use to get there? So a skill set that you already have the information for, you already know how to do something. So let's look at what you're doing on your job right now. Mm-hmm. Can you leverage what you're doing on your job for money? A lot of people struggle with this. Let me give you an example. One of the very first, well, the business that I started that allowed me to be able to walk away from my job completely in 2014, at that time, I was a property manager. I managed apartment communities, luxury apartment communities, and a lot of the clients that would come in there were film industry clients and athletes, meaning production houses needed to house their cast or their crew for a new movie that was filming here in Atlanta, or athletes who wanted exclusive property. Well, I was the go-to person on the staff for that. Right. And remember, I had the attitude of resentment at my job. So what I ended up doing, I felt underappreciated. So I ended up establishing my own property management company and saying, you know what? The relationships are with me. They're leasing these properties or purchasing these properties because they've connected to me. So I contacted all of my relationships, all of the production houses, all of the athletes' business managers and said, hey, instead of calling this number to get your housing needs situated for your clients, you're going to call my number now. Mm. And so I leveraged something that I was already paid well to do and already very skilled at. I had 13 years in the business and I started a property management company where now I exclusively find properties for high-level clientele. Mm-hmm. And that's when income really went to the next level. So what do you do right now on your job that you could leverage? You may be an assistant. You may be somebody's executive assistant, but you do that very well. Mm-hmm. Can you now create a course to teach other people how to be a great, amazing, you know, executive assistant? Can you be the training support for a CEO like me? Or can you come in and train my assistant to be more effective at their job? Right? This is something that you can do right now. Yeah. Or are you really into earrings? And maybe you find a manufacturer where you can buy, you know, 500 pair of earrings for $200. Now you take that $200 inventory, mark every single one of them up, you know, $10. And now, whatever that math is, you've made that in profit minus your expenses.
Facts. And so I had a friend, he has a corporate job and he knows how to get a job. Like, he knows how to write his resume and negotiate a salary. So he created a course teaching you how to, well, a course and a service teaching you how to negotiate your salary.
And how to
write your resume.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And some of you guys, you know, some of y'all need to try the earring strategy, not for financial freedom, but for practice. Mm. Let's just get your feet wet in the business so you're not super tied to the outcome, but just do it for fun.
Yep.
Because I'm sure, like, when y'all started doing photography, videography, it's fun. It's super fun. But it can get to a point now that you label it business, it could get stressful, pressure, things of that nature. So if you're watching this and you're new to this entrepreneurial space, try something for
business is tough. All right. And you have to keep your brain focused on the main thing by limiting distractions. But let me show you how business works. I'll give you some quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems and delivering products or services, the more margins you have and the more money you get to keep. But with higher expenses on materials and employees and distribution and borrowing money, of course, everything costs more. So to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR, into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, so you can access it from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. Everything is more expensive these days, y'all. From food to employees to systems, inflation is going crazy. So it behooves you, it'd be wise to find proven ways to cut costs and boost performance all at the same time. Now through April 15th, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program. Head to netsuite.com/socialproof. netsuite.com/socialproof. netsuite.com/socialproof.
Fun. See what you could do. Extra money. I don't care if you trick off all the profit on your weekend hanging out, but at least get your feet wet and still have fun with the entrepreneurial journey.
Yep. So the skill, identifying the skill or the product or the service or product would be my next step in the puzzle. Then looking at my resources. Who do I already know? Who do I already have access to? What do I already have access to that could help me put this idea together, right? So
what if I have no resources? I have no resources.
You have books, so you have the internet, so you always have resources, right? Mm. So now it's just about identifying what resources I have access to. Some people have more resources than others that make that process a little bit easier, but just because you don't have like people resources doesn't mean that it's impossible. Yeah. We have knowledge at our fingertips, so we all have access to resources, right?
Absolutely.
So figuring out what resources you have and who can help you. And somebody's like, well, what's a resource? Well, maybe somebody who can mentor you, help you avoid some shortcuts. Maybe somebody who knows a manufacturer for those earrings. Maybe someone who knows how to help you put your course together for your executive assistant program on Kajabi or Teachable. Mm-hmm. Those are going to be your resources. Resources are even money. So identifying how much money you have to work with or what you have available to liquidate to get the money. So maybe you can sell some extra furniture off. Maybe you can sell that closet full of Jordans that, you know, took your money. What resources do you have available to contribute toward this?
Facts. I like that. I hope y'all are really, really taking notes. It's like just giving you the pieces to the puzzle. And if none of that works, just find a rich boyfriend or girlfriend. Right, Donnie?
That don't work. That's their money, okay? Make your own money, ladies
facts,
and gentlemen.
Facts.
All right, so.
I would have to offer another bit of advice, and I think it might go into like calendar or schedule.
Okay.
Is to build in the windows. Because the number one excuse that I hear is I don't have time. Which could be valid, right? So you got kids, you got a job, you have a spouse to take care of, and you don't have time, but... you may not have big blocks of time, but we got windows. Mm-hmm. So I know some people that go to lunch break and they eat lunch and scroll through Instagram and watch funny YouTube videos. That is a window of time.
Yep.
You can literally take an hour a day and just put it into your business, your product, whatever it is that you're going to be building. And you'll have 7 hours that you put into a project at the end of the week.
Mm-hmm.
30 hours that you put into something by the end of the month.
Mm-hmm.
If you could imagine that 30 hours, what can you accomplish in 30 hours?
Mm.
Like if you had 30 hours, Aaron, to really focus on your podcast, your business, your group, whatever. If you really had 30 hours, like what can you accomplish? 30 hours?
Yeah.
But because we don't have these blocks of time, we waste our windows. And when we waste our windows, we say stuff like, oh, well, I ain't got time to do it. Or somebody feels like if you quit your job, then you have more time. And sometimes we have too much time together, you waste all of that.
All of it.
Like if you have, y'all think, listen, you think when you quit that job, you just going to be super productive. That's not the case. You're going to go grocery shopping. You're going to run errands. You got to go get your tags. You got to do all this kind of stuff because you got these big windows of time.
Sweet.
The benefit for a busy person, and I think you have the biggest benefit in terms of being an entrepreneur, is you have concentrated activity in small windows of time. It's easier to be productive when you only have an hour than you do 10 hours of open time. Yes, sir.
Can you hear me on here?
Yeah, you're good.
Yo, I literally did that this morning, bro. Like, when we stopped working yesterday, I went home, I got situated and everything, and I was like, I'm gonna take a quick nap real quick. So I took a nap for an hour. And then it became late into the night, and I was like, I'm gonna just take 1 hour at a time, and I'm gonna time myself to get this done.
Mm.
And I got it done in an hour.
Yeah.
So then I took 10 minutes. I was like, all right, take a 10-minute break. Now I'm gonna get something next done in the next hour. So literally, I've been doing that this whole morning till we got here today. So for you to say that is like, spot on. Like, you really got to. I had to create the window, though. I couldn't be like, oh, I got 5 hours. I'm tired. Let me get enough rest so I go through the day. No, I got everything done, and now I got a whole day in front of me. You know what I'm saying?
So, working the windows. The windows.
Yep. And that's really important. That's really important. So let's give somebody an example of that. So we're in the space where we're both coaches, and people are often coming to us like, I want to be a coach, but I work a full-time job. I don't know how to do it, right? Tell you how I did it. I got clients. I had a limited number of clients that I worked with and became really, really good at working with them. But I would use the hour drive that I was in traffic going to work. Mm-hmm. I would use my hour lunch break and had a client at that time. And then I would use that hour on my way home from work to picking up my daughter to do my third client. So in any given, and I would put them all on one day. So I got all my clients out of the way for the week that I worked with on a one-on-one basis. In one day, it took 3 hours out of my day mm-hmm. that I would have just been scrolling social media or calling my homegirl to see if she was on her lunch break. Yeah. Maximize your time.
Absolutely.
We can't get it back. Maximize your time.
Absolutely. Man, my least productive days is when I just got a lot of time.
Mm.
It's the craziest thing. But if I got an hour to go crazy, oh, we lock in.
Yeah.
That's major.
Got one more. One more.
Let's do it. Pieces of the puzzle.
Pieces of the puzzle. So we talked about, just to catch you up. Well, you got it. Take notes. Last thing that I'm going to go over is exposure. So now that we have our vision, we've cleared the space, gotten our environment together. We've talked about the skill set or the product. We've figured out our resources, what we have, what we don't have. Now it's exposure. Right? So now you have that product or service. You've got the mindset. You've got the vision. Now we got to get it in front of people.
Mm.
You want to make the six figures. People have to buy from you. They have to pay you. So now identifying what way in which you will expose your business. If you are on a limited budget, then we got to get really, really good at word of mouth. Mm. We got to get really good at connecting with other people and leveraging their networks. Mm. Hey, can you post this for me? Hey, can I send this to you if you share it on your social media page? Let me get in front of as many people as possible. I call this market research, AKA the legwork that people don't like to do.
Facts.
Right? You don't have the money to market. Well, now you got to start going into these Facebook groups and you got to start creating relationships and establishing yourself as an authority in these already pre-existing Facebook groups. Like the resources, the opportunities for exposure are already there. Somebody already created it. Right? Somebody already created it. I'll use Jose as an example for your network. He comes into your network and he starts to deliver value. He's valuable, 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 valuable to the point now where he's a cohesive part of your team. Right? So what Facebook groups can you leverage about your particular niche market? Go in there and just start answering people's questions, right? Exposure, getting them to connect with you and see you as an authority, or identifying a budget for paid marketing.
Mm-hmm. I like that. Mm-hmm. And I think one way we can track it is just looking at the numbers. So like, do you know how, as an entrepreneur, do you know how many views you had last week? Do you know how many views you had the week before that? Mm-hmm. How many people started following you? Like, these are all the things that we track. So I'll give you an example. We were maybe six months ago, we were doing 20,000 views every 48 hours. You know, YouTube, they'll show you how many views in those 48 hours. We do 20,000 views every 48 hours, which is 10,000 views a day. That's amazing, isn't it? Like, that's super. A lot of people, 10,000 people viewing videos every single day. And I'm looking at the numbers, and my next question is, okay, how do we increase that? So in this month, so we were dropping one every week, and then we went to two. Not instead of one every week, six a month. So every other Thursday we'll drop one. And then it went to 30,000 views. I said, oh, I get it. The more videos we drop, the more views we get.
Increase the exposure.
Oh.
Increase the exposure.
We're now at 60,000 views every 48 hours. We went from 10,000 to 30,000 a day. The formula is, if we are gonna grow the business, one, we gotta look at the numbers. And I know for a fact, if we drop a third video, more views.
Done.
But because we don't know how many people are seeing our business, we're not even tracking the sales. I'm looking at the revenue. Every number I can find, and it's actually driving me crazy because I'm on the EYL network. Shouts out to the brothers. So on the EYL network, we got to hit Mike to see the numbers because there's like one login for the network and he'll show me my numbers, no problem. But like, I geek out at 1 o'clock in the morning looking at the numbers.
Yeah.
Like, I want to see the growth. I want to see where people coming from, all that kind of stuff. And I got to call Mike, like, Mike, can you send me some numbers real quick? And I'm like getting giddy because like, I know you have to inspect what you expect.
That's right.
So if you expect something and you're not inspecting it, looking at it grow or fall or go up, drop, things of that nature, you'll wonder why you're not building because you're on a constant decline. Then we look back at, okay, how many people did I expose last month, last week? But if we don't know those numbers, How can we grow?
Yep. And that's another, that's a totally separate piece, right? Mm-hmm. That's another totally separate piece. And I want to give them two more because I want to make sure you guys are able to put your puzzle together.
And get your questions together too. Y'all, like, just so we can have these conversations.
These are the same exact puzzle pieces that we are using to build to our seven figures, right? Okay. So again, just so, and I'm going to number them. So somebody count this out for me. We've got vision.
Hold on, because I'm actually going to be stealing this and I'm going to teach it.
This is a blueprint that I'm going to be teaching you guys as I just taught it here.
Proceed. Number one, please.
So number one is going to be vision. Mm-hmm. Number two is going to be environment. Number three is going to be identifying your skill set or product. Number four is going to be identifying resources. Number five is your exposure. Number six is your data, which David just covered, mm-hmm. right? I'm going to touch that just a little bit. And then number seven, the last two, number six.
Hold on, can I do seven, build in the windows, or was that in somewhere?
So let's put that in calendar.
Okay, okay,
cool. Where we did the environment.
Okay, gotcha.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Because that hour that I talked about identifying, that's the window. You just don't want
me to add to the little numbers, because if I add one, this is mine. Okay, we've created this together.
So we had already identified the window in which you build in when we did the calendar training. The hour that I said was free time is your window. It's your window. And I will show you my training. I actually talk about building in the window. Mm-hmm. It's on here. I'll show that to you later.
No, it's not. You must have stole it from me. I've been teaching it for years.
You must have heard it because we did come from the same company. You must have been in one of my trainings where I talked about building in the windows now that I think about it. Okay, so I want to cover.
What was number seven?
We're going to get there. So I want to touch number six. Don't be trying to skip ahead of everybody.
Hey, man, this content is gold for all coaches, okay?
Right.
Hey, listen, if you think every coach just magically come up with their own formula, and here's the thing, there's nothing that we can teach you that isn't out there somewhere.
It's out there.
It's out there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for my coaches, you have to be able to put your own spin on things. Mm-hmm. You have to be able to put it in your own words, your own language, your own stories that are attached to these teachings. So I'm taking this, okay? And I'm just gonna read it.
I don't care if you do. Listen, let me tell you something. In order to also to be a good service provider or a coach, one of the things that we just sat here and did was innovation, right? So AD Dolphin on our live this morning said, just put the puzzle together. Yeah. You brought it up here on the live and I immediately did what? I started taking notes.
Yeah, for sure.
And putting the puzzle together. Like, I do this so much that I know what the journey should look like. So I'm gonna sit here and map it out to you live on camera.
Hey y'all, I ain't gonna lie, man. They sent me this Eufy lock. Think about being on the couch, someone rings the doorbell, your child left their key at school, and they need you to get off the couch to open the door. Well, you don't have to do it anymore with this Eufy lock. You can open, unlock, see who's at the door all on your phone. It's super easy to install. You can set up with just a Phillips screwdriver, no drilling required. It's keyless entry, so it's no more fumbling for your keys when your hands are full coming from the grocery store. 0.3-second fingerprint recognition. Listen, you put your fingerprint on there. You don't have, even if you got your bags, you put one finger out there, boop, you get to unlock your door that way. No battery anxiety. You don't have to worry about the battery dying. Quick charging. It's incredible. Also, passcode unlocking and remote control with a 2K clear sight camera so you can see who's at the front door. You're in control anywhere from the app. Enhanced night vision. It's absolutely incredible. No monthly fee either. So unlike other brands that charge a monthly fee, you have recordings locally, and you don't have to pay for the storage. Customer support is on 10. Listen, Eufy is on standby for you 24/7 so you can enjoy a worry-free experience with an 18-month warranty, all backed by our professional customer service team. Listen, you can contact them anytime, telephone, email, or live chat. Okay, listen, you need this Eufy lock. You need to look it up. All you have to do is go to the official website, Eufy, EUFY.com. I just ordered mine, okay? I love this product. It is incredible. It's a game changer. It makes life so much easier, right? So if you have a video doorbell already or any smart lock, it's time to replace it. It's time to replace it. So listen, search Eufy, EUFY video lock. Search Eufy video lock. That's EUFY FY Video Lock, or visit eufyofficial.com/video lock to see how you can gain complete control of your door. Okay? You can get a complete control of your front door, your life, back door, incredible. Okay? So search Eufy, EUFY Video Lock, or visit eufyofficial.com/video lock.
And then teach it to you. Get you a coach that can go live and give you all these keys, right?
That's a fact. Can I have them text me? Because I got a text number now.
No, not yet. We are going to have text me. Come on, Shans. Let's stay focused.
I know, but I want to do it before the end.
Well, I want them to do it with, I want them to text me too.
All right. Well, you can tell them to text you after. All right. So text me, okay, at 404-737. And this is my number, so I reply.
Hold on. Our numbers are almost
404-737-4935. 404-737-4935. I know what you're thinking. How is this your number? You got to read it. Okay, it's another app, but it comes to my phone and I'll be replying. So 404-737-4935.
And then I want you to do this real quick before I give you 6 and 7, or Shans gave you 6. You did give 6, right? But before I elaborate on 6 or 7, I want you to text me if you need help putting your puzzle together.
I'm always doing this at the end.
You just did yours.
I know.
But I'm going to do it again. If you need help with your 6 or 7 figure puzzle and putting that together on a high level, text me the word puzzle to 404-737.
Text puzzle to me too. Text puzzle to me too. All right.
Okay. Seriously, I want you to text me the word puzzle to 404-737-2767. Okay. Got it? If you don't, just stop it, rewind it, you'll have it. Okay, so number 6, Shans went over data. Very, very important that we make that a separate piece itself, because these last two are the most underutilized tools or pieces.
Facts.
People don't like to study the data. They don't want to get involved in the numbers. It feels too much like science and mathematics to watch trends go up and down and studying charts and looking at numbers. But you have to know what your numbers are, because those are the only things that produce your measurable results. If you don't know your numbers, how do you know if that influencer marketing that you paid for actually worked?
Exactly.
If you don't study your numbers, how do you know that you're actually making money off of your book sales and not just recouping the money that you spent to get the books published, right? You've got to track your numbers. And it's not just sales numbers, but it's also like, I track how long does my average sales call last. I need to know how long an average sales call lasts so I can make sure I have enough salespeople on team that day to handle the influx of calls that are coming in. Those are things that I also need to track. How many times does it take to talk to a potential customer on the phone before they're actually ready to spend money, right? Mm. So I can confidently say that I have a system in place that closes high ticket clients in one phone call. How could I say that if I didn't study the numbers, right? So you got to study those things. You got to study how many people are coming to your website, how many people are clicking your links from your email, your link tree, your website, all of those data. We can get into data, you know.
This is a masterclass. Y'all getting some value from this? Golly, yeah. This is good.
And then the last thing, which is so underutilized and almost the most important thing, is customer service, right? So in customer service, we could break this down so many ways. One of the things is in fulfillment. Whatever people buy from you, they need to get from you. Give these people what they paid for, right? So making sure that you are fulfilling your customers' orders, making sure that you have means in place to check in on your customers. Many businesses, and I don't know the statistic on this, I'm going to figure out how to figure that out, but so many businesses are losing money because they simply don't remind their customers that, hey, I'm here and you can buy from me again, right? So if I have a lash line and you purchased lashes from me a month ago, it's time for some new lashes, sis, right? If I have a 90-day planner and it's been 90 days, I don't want to wait until the 91st day. I want to hit you in your 60th day and say, hey, you should be on your last month of your planner. It's time for you to order your second round, right? If I have coaching services and you did a 1-hour consultation with me a month ago and I have something else to sell you, I don't want to just do the 1-hour consultation and never speak to you again. Where can I take this customer next? I'm going to provide customer service by putting an automation in place to follow up with you to remind you, like, hey, we did that consultation. Are you doing anything with that? Do you need another consultation? Do you need my course? Do you need to be in my membership group? Those are all things on the back end. Monitoring mentoring, polling your clients and customers sometimes just to see what they think you could be doing better. What do you want more of from me? What didn't you need from me? Where did I drop the ball, if ever? Where did I exceed your expectations? All those things are really important. And I think that's a really good base. We may add to this, but I think these seven pieces are a really good start to putting the puzzle together.
Absolutely. Man, this is like this has been absolutely game changer for anybody. Just like the stuff is everywhere. Thoughts are everywhere. It's like you dump out puzzle pieces on a table and that's your brain. Like mm-hmm. it's just stuff everywhere. Mm-hmm. The first thing you got to do is look at the picture.
Look at the picture.
Like, let's see what we want this thing to look like. So that is really good. Y'all got any questions? Anything? Go for it.
Yeah, I got a question for both of you. What would you say was the hardest learning curve out of the pieces that you gave? Which one and why?
Seeing it.
The vision, so number one.
Yeah, seeing it. I like just, for me, I just didn't see it. So AD said the best way to make seven figures, he said, go make eight. My biggest challenge is I don't see eight. I can say it, I can write it down, but I, in my heart, I don't see it. So I need to start developing that vision. And I think getting around the right environment, they help you see it. Because when I was going for six figures, I didn't see million. Mm. I didn't see that. But now that I'm in a certain environment, Neil told me what his numbers were and how my man Marcus, he did seven figures on Black Friday. Mm. And you're in another environment. You're like, oh, well, if you could do it in one day, surely in a year.
Yeah.
Right? It just helps me see it. So my biggest thing is seeing it, and seeing is believing that I could do it.
Yeah. For me, I think it was environment. So I've always seen it. I always knew that it would happen. But when it comes to environment, remember, we're also talking about included in that is how we're spending our time, what we're doing with our time, right? Is that in that? Yep, that's in there. So clearing the space for me was the hardest thing because I still wanted to have fun and I still wanted to party all the time. And I still, you know, back in the day, you could party until 4 a.m., get up at 7 a.m. and go to work, right? Well, you could do that, but are you really your best? Am I? Mm-hmm. And for me, it was a shift in the things that I did with my time to say, okay, well, I'm performing well by BSing and partying until 3 o'clock in the morning and getting back up and servicing clients at 8. But if I went to bed at midnight, could I be better? Mm. Right? So it was choosing what I would do with my time. And my biggest obstacle included in that, honestly, was procrastination. Mm-hmm. It was having too much time. When I became a full-time entrepreneur, I got time. Time. So now
even less done, though.
You get even less done. Now, instead of just grabbing that quick bowl of cereal, I'm going to cook an elaborate breakfast, right? That elaborate breakfast turns into almost lunchtime, mm-hmm. right? And now
Dang, that's crazy. How does breakfast just automatically, golly, it's time to eat again. I didn't even do that.
Breakfast turns into lunch. And then after a breakfast like that, you need a nap.
You gotta have a nap.
You know, I'm going to take a quick nap because I still got all day to do.
All day.
And then you get that surprise phone call from someone who needs to talk about something and you have that conversation. And before you know it, it's 4 o'clock and you're just starting on work. Mm-hmm. So then I convinced myself that I work better after 4. Oh, I did. So I'm a night owl. This is facts. I am a night owl. I stay up incredibly late, but I also still get up early in the morning. I seriously am most productive after 4 o'clock. I don't know what it is. My brain just turns on. But that doesn't mean
you don't get up super early.
I'm up by 7 o'clock. That's super early for me.
You don't be taking no appointments.
I do not. I built my business that way to accommodate my lifestyle. I don't take calls before 10 a.m. It's not because I'm not up.
You wake up at 7 and take a nap?
Yep, so I own the first hour of my day.
That's dope.
The first hour of my day is all mine. I meditate, I pray, I think. That's it. Mm. That's it. And then after that, I'm usually looking at my calendar or writing out my thoughts. So I like to write out my thoughts. I'll journal.
That's a good way to start your day.
Yeah, I have to own the first hour of my day because the moment you get out of bed, so many things can go wrong. It can be as simple as stumping your toe on the end of the bed. Mm-hmm. We all know the pain associated with stumping your toe. And how you start your day is so important. If I start my day off with a stumped toe because it's dark and I didn't see something, now I got an attitude for the first 2 hours of the day.
Mm. You know what probably the best way to start your day is? going to the morning meetup, themorningmeetup.com. It's the only community that gathers at 8 a.m. every single morning for the betterment of entrepreneurs. We gather and talk entrepreneurship. You get to grow, and you'll see hundreds of other entrepreneurs that are also on that call together. So I think that might be the best way to start.
That is a really great way
to
start your day. Yep. So anyway, I am. I am most productive after four, but then I had to learn, okay, environment, how can I set it up so my business is still performing from 9 a.m. until 4 p.m., right? So what things need to be in place? Now I need to get some team on place. I got to get a sales team in place because I don't take calls at 10 at 9 a.m., but my team do.
I like that.
Right? So it's just setting up the environment. I struggle, and today, honestly, I still struggle. It's not even, it's procrastination because I can fix it and I'm procrastinating on fixing it, right? Being overwhelmed with time. I can fix it. Delegate. Yeah. Delegation would fix that issue for me, but I'm procrastinating even on that.
Yeah. Yeah.
One more question too.
Sis said, I got
when
all
you
the
become,
questions.
Right. When you become successful, right? You have all seven pieces. You're successful. You're making strides in your business. How do you pivot when you have reached a success threshold? And do you guys think or believe in a success threshold?
I don't, man. I don't know. So we're talking about the number. I'm going to put it out there. But you make $80,000 in a month. And so $1 million is about almost $84,000 every month, right? Or let's go into like the six figures. It's almost $8,400. When my goal was to make $8,400 a month, if you make six figures in a year, you feel it's successful, but you'd have to make $8,400 in January, February, March, April. By December, it's not celebratory. I made it, it's successful. It's another month. It's gonna feel just like the last month. And most people are gonna go from $1,000 to $2,000 a month extra. $2,000 to $3,000, not a big jump. $3,000, you've been making $3,000 and you have a $4,000 a month, you're not like, yo, let's go. But you go from four to five, then five to six, and six to seven. And it's not like a hooray, I made it. You know what I mean? So I don't know if I can answer that question in terms of when you get successful, because what I know in my head is whatever threshold we do at by this year, it's not enough. Not for money purposes, but I can do more. I'm like trying to prepare. I need to grow more. I need to learn, get my systems a little tighter. I need to get like even clearer on my goals. I need to look at my data because as an entrepreneur, you're always trying to fix something. Something's always broken. Something's always restricting you. So I think you get comfortable in your lifestyle where you are, and you can manage it, but you want more. Not for the thing's sake. Because my buying habits are the exact same as they were 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. But the fact that I can do more, I want to do more. Yeah. So I don't know if I know if there's a difference in threshold. I don't know.
I don't think so. I think, I can only speak from my experience, I think that successful people always want more, right? And I think, so think about it like when you are unemployed and there is a challenge with paying bills, all you want is that job. If I get that job that pays $12 an hour, I'm good, right? Or if I get that job that pays $18 an hour, I'm good. You get that job, you go into that interview, you get it, and it's like, whew, yes. You're working on the job for 2 weeks, you get your first paycheck, you're grateful, you're able to pay your bills, but now you want more. Now you want to shop a little bit, you want to travel. So now you're looking for the promotion, or you're looking for another job, or you're looking for another stream of income.
The managers get on your last nerve.
The manager,
3 months ago,
change.
You was excited.
What you thought was going to be amazing, the situation, the circumstances change. So now you want more, you want different. And I think that is the case if you hit six figures or seven figures. You know, I'm working with seven figure entrepreneurs right now who are not satisfied. They're grateful, right? But they're not satisfied. There's always going to be a next step. I don't see a threshold. I'm going to take this thing as far as it can go. Mm-hmm. As far as it can go.
Yeah. And you think about, you're married, right? How long have you been married? 13 years. Before you're married, like we think, yo, marriage, threshold, great. And it's like pure bliss until you get in these little arguments or, you know, these little patches or whatever. And it's being married isn't enough anymore. It's like, I want my marriage to go to another level. I want my relationship to get more intimate. I want it to be more
power couple.
Yeah. We want to do more together. We want to build. It's not just being married. But some people get to that point where they're so caught up in that threshold of getting married. When you get there, it's not how you saw it in your head before you had it. And now it's like, oh, I thought this was going to be something different.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was going to be this much work. So you got a responsibility with the thing that you want. And now you got to manage the responsibility, which isn't always peaches and cream. So, question.
All right. You answered this question for me a while ago before I started my podcast, but there's a lot of people that out here that still have this issue. So the question is, how can a creator or any person that's doing a thing, whether it's a coach or whatever, that is looking to sell products, you know, how do they put something out on all these different social media platforms and still have something left to sell? Because some people may say, well, if I give it out on Clubhouse or if I give it out on YouTube, they're not going to buy my course. So what would you guys say about that? Because that is something that a lot of people deal with. And I actually dealt with at one time.
Mm-hmm. So a couple of things with that. I believe in giving it away, right? We just gave it all away. This could have been a for real class. And it will be, actually. Let me tell you why. Because a very small percentage of people actually get to the end of the video or an end of the podcast, or a very small percentage of people will be so fully engaged and plugged in while they're on that Clubhouse with you that they won't even realize you're selling them what you just gave away for free. So give it away, give it away, give it away. People see things differently. Also, you have things like algorithms to pay attention to as well. So everybody who's on your Clubhouse network that you're giving things away, all the people on Instagram aren't in that Clubhouse, so it still works. Some people, just like a book, I could hear you at a conference. How many times have you had this happen? People hear you talk about networking strategies at a conference. You give it all away, and then they still go to the back of the room and buy your networking no-nos book. It happens. They want something tangible in their hands. They need to see the delivery just a little differently, right? The key for me, and I see people like Neo who will put it out there every single day, I haven't necessarily mastered that. I give and then I pull back, I give and then I pull back so that I'm marketable. But lay it out and people establish you as a resource. Also sometimes limiting your exposure. So now I may not be so available 7 days a week for free on Clubhouse. Maybe I'm available 3 days a week giving it away. And if you wanna get with me the other 4 days, you join my membership group or davidshansmorningmeetup.com, right? So just balancing what it is that you have.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Also, a good formula for people to follow is that when you are giving things away for free, just a good strategy to follow is give away the why for free. Give away the what and the why for free. Why you should do this. Why selling information is powerful. Here are some case studies that Aaron went through to get from here, 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 and here. He did these steps. Now, if you want me to teach you specifically how to do those things, you buy the how. Right. So if you notice, I might tell you that you can put your ebook on flippingbook.com to make it a fancy presentation. Put your ebook on flippingbook.com. I gave you the nugget. Oh, you want to know how? I have a course for that. Right. I have something available for it. I have a membership group where I give that all away for free. So the why and the what, free. The details of why, you know, it's the what. It's the flipping book. It's the put your course on a Kajabi. Now you want to learn how to build a course? Well, I sell that, yeah. Right? I'm telling you, build your course, think about putting it into modules, drip it down to people if you're on payment arrangements. I gave you all of that game for free, but now you want to know how to put the course together. That's the part that you buy.
Yeah, and I would definitely say that no matter what you give somebody in an hour, 2 hours, you can't change your life in an hour and 2 hours. So you might ask the question of, yo, Dave, how do you start a podcast? Well, you need mics. You need a mixer. I give you the mics, the mixer, the cameras. I give you everything we use. Can you go get the same results? Why not?
They're not you.
They're not me. Because you're gonna say, okay, all right, well, you got the RE20 mics. How many do I need? How do I connect this to the board? What are the settings on the board? Okay, I got all the stuff you told me, okay? And I look at you as an expert because you got all this game. For one, out of everything we talked about in this hour and 10 minutes, how much of it do you remember? Give me the 7 pieces of the puzzle.
Oh,
I got it on my phone.
Right. Nobody got it in their head?
Oh.
No.
Vision.
Calendar.
Exposure.
Environment.
Window.
Environment.
Data.
Resources.
And identifying your products.
So that's eight. I don't know how we got off because we mixed some. But outside of that, so I said, what did we talk about? And we talked about the seven. What about everything in between?
Mm-hmm.
Do y'all remember it? But you leave with a feeling of, yo, these people know what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I got a couple questions on data because my numbers are different than yours. I got a question. Okay, my situation is different in terms of environment, how I'm going to structure it. I need your help. I will give people the entire game. If you're like in the grocery store and you're in front of me or behind me and you ask me questions, I'm going to give you everything I got. Everything that's in the course for sure. But you're still going to need me. Because I don't charge people for my information. I charge them for my time. Mm-hmm. So I've got to sit down with you for an hour. Well, one, I don't have that. If you really, really want it, we got to have a conversation. Mm-hmm. And if you want me to look at your specific situation on a platform, we can talk and give everybody all the stuff we got. But there's 100 people watching, meaning there's 100 different situations. Meaning there's going to be somebody like, yo, I feel like they can help me. Because they can't implement, you can't implement stuff from an hour webinar or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But people think they're going to be successful that way. They go from webinar to webinar. You got to buy the stuff at the end
mm-hmm.
if you really want to win.
Mm-hmm. And if you really want to win in a condensed time frame, because if I'm being totally honest, I started, I went to people to help me. When I was opening my clothing store, my very first legit business, I asked people to help me. And at that time, like I asked other people who were successful with clothing stores to help me. And at that time, people weren't just giving away information, mm-hmm. right? There were no cameras around for them to get credit for doing yeah. that. So it was hard to find people who just wanted to mentor me to be their competition.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't really understand, the people who I was asking didn't even understand that that was a marketable thing that yeah. they could be selling. So I did all of the YouTube research, Google research, and I was able to start, but it took me years to put that stuff together to really get the results. Did I get a result? Yeah, but not the result that I was hoping for. Yeah. If I had paid for it, I pay now. I pay to play now.
Yeah.
Just give me the information. I want to know that this is the direct resource, because if I'm trying to Google it or YouTube it, I got to filter through all of the BS. I got to filter through all the people who don't know what they're talking about. Yeah. I got to filter through all of the outdated advice that's right. no longer relevant. Give me your product. If I think that you have it, I'm just going to pay you for yep. it.
Right.
That's going to collapse the time frame or condense the time frame.
There it is. There it is.
One more question.
One more?
I think you had one.
Yeah. You mentioned earlier about... you know, wanting to grow, wanting to continue to be more successful. And my question is, I imagine like at some point in your business, your focus shifted from making money to making more time for you mm-hmm. to do more
mm-hmm.
and making more time for yourself. I assume that like that helps your business to grow. But like what other stages have you found yourself in that kind of indirectly grew your business? Does that make sense?
Not really.
Happiness, wanting to be happy. So go from wanting to make money, then you want to make more money so you have time. So you kind of systemize everything so that you can have more time. And then if you create more time for yourself, what do you do then? You have the money and you have time. Well, I mean, sometimes the thing that I'm making money in doesn't make me happy. Or there's some things about myself that I really, really want to improve on. I want to develop. That's why you'll see super successful people start taking karate classes, or they're going to start, you know, just on a personal development journey, or I'm going to be a philanthropist, or I'm going to start this nonprofit to fulfill my purpose, because that's what makes me happy. So I think every step that you go to, you start to identify what you want at that level. You know what I mean? So I couldn't answer it for you, because you're going to go to another level. And the thing that you want right now isn't going to be on the next level. You got to go find that. It might not be business or money or time or whatever. It might be happiness. It might be a spiritual relationship. I don't know.
Yep. For me, I think my journey started off with impact. So I wanted to make impact before money, because I knew the more impact that I made, the more money, you know, the money would just fall into mm-hmm. place. Recently, in the last 12 months, I made time a priority. So doing, you know, in the beginning, I was doing a lot of exchanging my time directly for money, and that would determine how much money I made.
Yeah.
Even though I had a book and other things that I could sell, my bread and butter came from exchanging my time. And so in the last year time, and then just like David said, being I'm a happy person, it's really hard for me to be unhappy. Even when I was at my worst and had things falling apart, I was still happy in life. But now it's about quality of life for me. My focus is really on quality of life for me, my mom, and my daughter. So I'm at this point now where I really want to show my mom things that, you know, she's never gotten to feel or experience, you know, and my mom is old school. She's got that mindset like it's too late. You know, she's of, you know, of whatever her age is. And she's like, you do that. It's too late for me to do X, Y, and Z. So I am creating experiences for her. And I'm really, really focused on setting up and creating opportunities for my daughter, who is in college, right? So kids her age, she's 18. She may or may not know for sure what she wants to do, but I'm making sure that I have a role for her in my company. I'm hoping to build a legacy business. So I'm putting pieces in place for that.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think we gotta go get that watch.
You said I had to put something in place. Make up your mind. Do I get the watch or do I create an extra money opportunity? Like, what's good? What's that?
I just want to take everybody on a field trip and record it. We got videographers here. Anyway, let's wrap it up, man.
Let's wrap it up.
I'm excited that a lot of people are, you guys are texting me right now. Wow. 404-737-4935. Look at all these people texting me. I think you might as well join the boat and text me like everybody else in the world. But this episode is sponsored always by themorningmeetup.com, the only organization that gathers every single day for the betterment of entrepreneurs, okay? You want to find a group, you want to find a community, you want to grow, you want to listen. First off, we have these conversations every day.
We do.
In the morning meetup. I'm either teaching or Donnie's coming on or we're doing Q&A or every single day. So go to themorningmeetup.com. We'd love to have you a part of the community. And then you could text Donnie for either business or relationship stuff, okay? Because she just sent a little picture. You know what I mean? Just to see what's, this is my gram.
Don't text me for relationship stuff. Don't. Hey, this episode is also brought to you by Post to Paid. Okay. You got me thinking about men right now. Post to Paid. So it is the only community in which if you are an entrepreneur who's struggling to position yourself on social media, you don't know what to post. You take all the great pictures. You've used David's content creation bootcamp. You got fire videos, but you don't know what to say and you don't know how to connect with your audience. I text you literally from my phone 3 times a day, every single day, post prompts that will help you say exactly what you should be saying to your audience on social media, and also brought to you by Six Figure Accelerator. So if you couldn't tell, I develop strong coaches and business leaders, right? Thought leaders. And if you are a person who wants to take your coaching or consulting business to the next level, if it's courses, if it's one-on-ones, if it's done for you services, whatever that may be, then you need to contact me and schedule a call with my team to see if you qualify for the program. That is www.sixfigureaccelerator.com. And again, that's www.sixfigureacceleratoredu.com. So go ahead and connect with us again, www.sixfigureacceleratoredu.com. All of our links are in the bios.
Absolutely. Yep. Yeah, man. Make sure y'all connect with us. Hopefully this has really been beneficial for you all. But now we got to take action.
We got to take action. Don't just take notes. Take action.
We can't close it out no better than that. That's a bar. Listen, do me a favor. Go get you some social proof. Okay. Go build something. Okay. Go build something. Document the journey. Just try to remember how you built this thing. Then go back to your community and teach someone else how to do it. That's the only way our community grows. All right. We are out of here. Peace.
Bye.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.